next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan. It's a lot of Nets podcast.
I mean, the only Net fans you know? The only what? The only Nets fans you know?
At least they've got some self-aware.
Man. I mean, come on, look, man. Or are these guys?
Welcome back to the Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. Welcome to a special edition of the podcast, pre-trade deadline edition. I'm joined by the one, the only, Kool-Aid. What's going on, brother?
Ain't nothing. What's good?
Not a lot, actually. I went to the Knicks game. You guys already heard the games. I want to talk about the issues with, like, the fourth quarter in general. Talent only takes you so far. I have to think that this team is being held back by something else.
I would agree with that. When you keep collapsing in the fourth quarter and it's redundant over and over, it can't be just because players are missing shots. We have some talent. Let's start there before we point, you know, all the fingers. So we have some talent, but is it leading talent? No, it's more complementary talent that we're forcing to lead. And without having a lead guard, it doesn't matter who you bring in here. If they can't create and get downhill, it's not going to work. And it's more to the point of we need a guard. And I'm not talking about Ben Simmons and people say, you know, this is our point guard. No, you need a point guard who can attack, who can actually score, who has an aggressiveness about them. You also need that guard to set the players up that are not accustomed to creating for themselves. A lot of our players are used to being spoon-fed. So I'll say that much. And a lot that's being said in the media is, well, we have to continue to play the way we've been playing. Guess what? They are playing that way. It's just that that way only works until the defense intensifies. Because once the Knicks or the Clippers decided to, I'm going to play D, I'm going to be aggressive with you, you get the turnovers for not having the ball handler. And what sets are we running? It cannot continue to be Bridges at the top of the key. You need somebody to settle him in so he's coming, catching the ball on the move. Now he can go where he wants to go because he's not strong enough to body anybody, take the contact, and play through it. So a lot of that losing in the fashion we're losing, it goes to the man that the gum chewer.
Mr. Rogers?
That's what you call him, Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, I call him Mr. Rogers. And he's always happy, bro. It's insane. The one thing that I did learn, I talked to you before about this, the one thing that really stood out to me, and I should have known this, I've heard this before, but seeing Brunson just take over, it's like, wow, this really is a point guard league. And you're 100% right. That's something we just don't have. I really think it would initiate the offense if we did have a Brunson or a shot-creating point guard because, man, you just look at our offense in the fourth quarter, especially when I think the last 10 games, it's horrendous. It's just completely horrendous. I got a couple stats I'm going to read out to you, and I want to see what you think about this. So I'm going to go back all the way from the Miami game to now.
Okay.
That's six games. We're averaging 20 points in the fourth quarter, shooting 37%. That's 48 for 124. And then from three, 12 of 51, 23%.
You said 12 for 51?
Correct. Doesn't even sound real.
So it's safe to say we're not a three-point shooting team.
Nope.
Safe to say that. We can hit some. Dang. The philosophy has to change.
You know what it is? A lot of these guys, CT and Bridges, take 8 pull-up jumpers a game, or I think pull-up threes a game, and they're shooting like under 40%. Like, it's ridiculous that maybe our guy Bridges is who we thought he is. He's an elite off-the-ball scorer. So when he's has the ball in his hands and you're setting him a pick and he's doing the pull-up jumpers, that's not his game.
But are they actually?
It's not him.
But are they actually setting the pick? That's key. A lot of our picks. So when Claxton's in the game, he has both hands already out to like push off and slip. That's not so much setting a pick. That's a stunt and go. But he's not even doing that long enough to give him the room to come off of it to get a good look. I just think like it's a personnel coaching. The philosophy can't be put up 40, 50 threes and then not hitting them. So you're telling them a mid-range is not a good shot, right? But watch this. When you get to the playoffs, what does everybody do?
Mid-range.
Because the mid-range is the pro's game. When it slows down and you have to be able to get a shot off, if you can hit a mid-range consistently, you're special. That's people may not like it. I'm going to simplify things. We don't have to look too far into it. He's teaching them wrong. There's not one team that won analytically. People get caught up in Golden State, right? Steph might have took 26 shots, 10 with threes. What were the other 16? Middies and layups. Like, the threat of his three opens up his midi and layup package. Now, if you leave him open, he's going to hit the shot. But that's the misconception of the other team that I could think of. Look at that Houston Rocket team that lost to Golden State. Why? Because they didn't want to take a layup or a midi. They kept shooting threes. What they missed? 27? It don't work.
That was ridiculous.
But that's analytics of basketball that don't work. Analytics is cool just to shoot some stats. When it gets down to really playing, go with the eye test. We shouldn't be shooting 12 for 51. Wow. I didn't know that number.
Yeah. It's not just like it's one player. It's like it's everybody. I mean, one second. Here you go. In the fourth quarter, CT is 17 for 58. With less than 3 minutes in the game, he's 4 for 22, 18% from three. That's wild. You know, you could say, oh, you know, it's the end of the game, shot clock, blah, 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 pressure. Whatever it is, that's 18% is unacceptable.
Here's the bell I'm gonna set for him.
Go ahead.
He's 22 years old.
Facts.
He should be your number one option, right? And this is his first year of meaningful minutes. And right now, you don't play him consistently enough or give him enough confidence. Not that he needs confidence, but more so the leeway to mess up. And when he gets off the ball, you ever notice they throw it right back to him?
Yep.
So you kind of, even if he gets off the ball, you're forcing him into taking some of those difficult shots. But it goes back to he's not a point guard. He's an undersized two guard, which is perfectly fine. He just needs the guard to set him up. He can create his own shot. But if you don't have to work that hard, it makes everybody's game better. So we got a bunch of people who haven't led at this level to be that closer. And you see it in the numbers. That's all I said. And I'm not even going to be mad at Bridges. You asking a dude who went from 12 points to 20-something in a year. It's a big jump. He's going to take some time, but I think those numbers go up with a point guard. I think it settles people in, and people automatically go back to what they're comfortable. Remember, he's played with CP3. He's used to being, here you go, fed, just like a baby. Easy buckets.
Oh, yeah. What is that? So I think he's over 50, maybe over 50% from the right corner, I think it is. Right corner.
Catch and shoot.
Yeah, like he's elite off the ball. This guy is elite. A point guard, man, is like that key. And it would really just unlock everything with this team, because now you have Bridges unlocked. Then maybe CJ will have a little more room in the corner, in the other corner. Maybe you have, CT a little more room. That gravity DFS, just helps everybody, right?
But it has to be a downhill guard. It can't be a guard that can't get by nobody. Because if you can't get by, I'm a sag and sit and just wait.
All this slander for Mikal Bridges is just, I think it's insane. I think the Knicks game broke Nets Twitter. I really do. I hate to say it, but they look broken. You have Bridges going to a game, a St. John's Villanova game with Brunson, and people are saying that he can't do it. They say, oh, man, if that was me, like, blah, blah, blah. I would comment people, like, so really, if you had, like, a best friend, y'all play ball, rivalry game, whatever, you're not going to hang out with your friend? I had someone tell me that they could go to the game together but not sit together.
They're lying.
You're a former player. Well, what do you think about that?
Man, remember, at the end of the day, that thing comes up at the end of the screen. It says entertainment. So basketball is their job. That's the one part that fans don't get.
They don't really don't get that.
People go to happy hour with their coworkers. So believe it or not, even though they're all on different teams, they're all in the same union. Basketball players in the NBA are small entities that are always tied to each other. That is why you don't see players say anything bad about another player. Because you jeopardize them missing their money, then it comes back to you. So this is somebody who he grew with, who spent 4 years in college with. That's his best friend. They're going to go to weddings together. So the fans that's saying that, you're idiots. Like, get a life. This can't be your whole life. Like, I understand you want to be a fan. Go outside, clap something, you know. And call it a day, or get clapped and call it a day. Have a drink. Trust me. Relax. Let these people live their life. We all get upset about one thing or another. That's fine. But to get upset about somebody hanging out with his boy before they made it to the league, before they either one of them was in the limelight, man, get out of here. These people, if that was you, you'd be right there talking about take the selfie. Man, get out of here.
You know what they said? They said, man, how would you feel if KD and Giannis after game 7 would be partying? I'm like, they were not friends. They were not friends.
Changing the narrative. There we go.
It's a 7-game playoff series that was hard fought is different than one regular season game against your best friend.
His whole championship teams is on the other side. He won twice with them. You really think he's not going to speak to them? Come on, man. That's like
so ridiculous, man.
That's saying Steph Curry and Damon Lee can't hang out and their brother-in-laws.
What game was it? Oh, against the Clippers, okay? We blew that whole lead, whatever. And you had JV, like, laughing. I know he wasn't laughing the whole interview, but that was just such a bad look.
That works my blood pressure. Every game, that's what I look for. I don't even watch the games fully no more because I know how they're going to end, and I don't feel like it's worth me watching. But to see him on a press conference smiling like it's all good, that's because he know he get paid no matter what. And that's nepotism at his best. He knows he's stinking it up. I want him to take ownership. meaning it's not all on him. Let me say that. It's not all on him. But if you know your locker room is as fragile as it seems right now, because every time you put a microphone in front of a player, their response ain't good. So take some of it. Just say, you know what? It's on me. I didn't put them in position to win tonight. That goes a long way with players. Like, they know when it's them. Like, Cam Johnson, he's struggling to hit shots, right? Take the hit. What's the difference if you say it's on me? You know what? You might get some good grace in the locker room. The media might look at you a little bit different, but every night he takes a subliminal jab at his players. That doesn't sit well in the locker room. That's that. I'm not going to go too much more on him, but that's it.
I got one last thing with him. He reminds me of a man that knows he's not going to get fired. Feels very comfortable. Would you agree? Not that he can't get fired or whatever, but like he's acting like that.
No. I get that. So for me, I would agree with that up until like the last 5 games.
Mm.
And the reason why I say that is he stopped smiling. You know, he used to smile a whole press conference.
The Clippers game was 4 games ago. Since the Clippers game, you'd say?
Yeah, I'll say okay. as the losses start piling up, he hasn't been really smiling. Because even though he has that arrogance, the confidence of, I know I'm not going anywhere, and maybe that's because he knows he's attached to the GM, the more you start losing and you're watching head coaches get kicked out, fired, like especially this week, you have to now have some consciousness of, yo, this ain't working here. You can't say it was some stat that I saw where it was the Nets, Pistons, Wizards, and I think Memphis Grizzlies. And like the last 15, 20 games, we pretty much all got the same record. Memphis don't have half their starters. They all hurt. At least like 5 of the rotational players is hurt. Washington is in transition. The Pistons are too young. Why are we in the class with them? And now with national media, that Knicks game put eyes on the Nets for the national media. And, you know, they're going to have to tighten their ship.
Do you think that's even possible at this point?
Season's not over. We're literally 1 or 2 games out to playing. For how bad we're playing, you do the right moves, you're in the playing, right? All we ask is to win the playing and win a game or two in the first round. You do the right moves, I don't think they would be the 8th seed. I think they might be 7th or, you know, something like that. And you let the chips fall where they may.
I definitely think that, how can I say this? There's a pessimistic attitude would be the nicest way to say it. I don't think it's the losses that are killing people. It's the way that they're losing, right? Like all these blown leads, the not being able to, I got a couple fourth quarters in front of me. Versus Miami, 19 points in that game that they lost by 1 point. Clippers, like how many points did they score that game? 15 points in the fourth. Against the Knicks, 18 points in the fourth. Like it's maddening. It's just maddening. It's like if you're an NBA coach, why not switch it up? I just feel like there should be more adapting. Am I crazy for saying that? And then we'll get off JV.
No, you're not crazy. You're spot on. You know what's going on. Your eyes is good. You see, it's not him. Meaning, it's optics. This organization has placed optics over winning, true winning. Like, everybody's talking about it now. You know, this is your mess. You're getting to clean your own mess up. Clean it up. Whichever way you know that's the correct way, just do it. I think if he allows whoever to come in and do their job, he will look much smarter. And if he gave us a true head coach, Nets fans wouldn't even be mad at Sean Marks anymore. If he can go out and identify the issues with this team at this deadline and come back with something that we've all been, you get us the point guard, we're going to shut up. He might miss on the other stuff. But you give us the point guard because now you got a different outlook. Right? And it'll make Javon's job easier, which would make it seem like he knows what he's doing.
All right. You just touched on something very interesting with Sean Marks. I don't know if it's a secret anymore. I don't think it's a secret. I don't have any issue saying it out loud. He picks guys that are going to be easy to coach with when he's picking a head coach. He picks a guy who's not going to give him pushback. He picks a coach that's going to be, let him have his input and more, I guess you could say. I'm trying to think, is JV kind of getting the scapegoat here? Is that Marks doesn't want the offense to change? And maybe JV does? Is there any way that this is possible?
So they, all right, we got to go back for a second so people understand this.
Way back machine.
We're going back to the Spurs, right? When they both sat on that bench. And they come from the same philosophy. And it's, I said this to you before, but people didn't hear it. So I'll say it again. It's like Sean Marks got the first sheet of the first 10 questions for the test, stole them, and then ran off. So he only can do a portion of what the Spurs did from what he got. If you look at it, they come from the same think tank of small ball. And you know it has to be a philosophy for both of them because there's never a time where Minnesota, we should have played big. They actually had 2 7-footers. Like, that was a time to have Clax and Giles out there at the same time, even if it was for 3 to 5 minutes, just to see. We don't do no experimenting. So when I think about, they're doing exactly what they want to run. Marks is Jerry Jones. He's a meddler.
That's interesting.
He wants to win on the way he wants them to win in his fashion, because we still don't know what JV's style is, so you can't say which players fit his style, which means Marks drafted the players he wanted. And we give Jay from BK a shout out that he said something. He said something that made so much sense. Kevin Ollie, you brought in to be the number one assistant. Kevin Ollie coached OTE. We couldn't get Leonard Miller. He's 6'11", can handle the ball. He's 19. So you could have had him. It's at the end of the day, the one chef, the one person that's buying the groceries, it's Mark. So yeah, Javon may be the face that's taking the brunt of it, but he's not innocent in it either. You know, he's got his hands dirty too. So, you know, we're going to figure this out before this year be the year of figuring things out.
Man, you just preached what I've been saying since preseason, that the fork in the road will come at the trade deadline or, you know, whatever time around that, quote unquote. And we're going to find out where the franchise is going. We're going to figure out what their plan is after months of pretty much no clarity at all. If the team direction is not clear after the trade deadline, then that means something very bad has happened and everyone needs to be fired, because this is just fucking ridiculous, man. Dinwiddie, we know, is gone. I already consider him gone. He's my favorite player. I'm sad about it, but shit happens. Dodo, I consider him gone. Royce probably gone. If he's not gone, I would kind of be mad considering he's a free agent, right? Plax may be gone. We don't know. There's been reports of that. What do you think about those guys? Are we going to get a Murray deal? The more and more I hear, I feel like Murray's not coming to Brooklyn and he's going to L.A.
I tweeted that before. Whenever you start hearing about the deal, chances are it's not happening.
By the way, I thought it was very funny how Ben Simmons is coming back a week before the trade deadline. So it's like almost you could do like a press conference and say, you know what our trade deadline edition was? Getting back.
If they hit you with that again.
I'm going to jump out the window.
So if that happens, I'm not watching any more games. It don't make no sense. He has to be a sunken course.
Absolutely. Right?
But I also believe this. I don't believe he plays Monday. And the reason why. Here's the conspiracy, but this is real business of basketball. So after you miss 41 games straight, the owners are not responsible for your contract. The insurance company is. So if he misses 41 games, which I think is about three more games for him, because he only played, what, six this year? Eight. And we had like, he played eight?
Maybe eight. Go ahead, keep on talking. I'll look it up.
So, but somewhere around there, it's either going to be three or five, somewhere like that. Then Sy doesn't have to pay the money for Ben Simmons' contract. So even though it's on his books, does it come out of his pocket? And from the reports, he's more worried about profits and losses.
Of course. So by the way, it was six games. Sorry to cut you off.
It is six?
Yep, you're right.
Three more games. Three more games, and you can sit him down and then let him play the fourth game. And insurance has to pick that money up.
That's all but guaranteed. I would be shocked. Now what you just said that, I would be shocked if that does not happen.
Because there's no, at this point, he can't come back and start. That's one. That's a slap in the face to all these players that have been playing. Like, the dude's basically missed the whole season. What rhythm is he in? Because you want us to believe he's playing 5-on-5 with the Get Ready crew and assistant coaches. When do they practice? So he would have to play 3 to 5 games of G League to really know where his legs are at. So I'm not going to go. I don't know with him. And if he does play, how many games is he going to play? Five? And then he's gone again? I just told you before, his career is over. Sadly. This is it.
Big hit.
Spencer, the writing's been on the wall. You can't ask this man to come back, 4 years later and play the same role for the same team that he left in free agency, right? You didn't want him then. He knew you didn't want him now. Do I like that he quit on the team? No. I tweeted yesterday. It's funny that Harden did the same thing he did. Harden got traded. Why is Spencer not sitting on the bench? You're not going to trade him.
You know why.
But if he's not engaged in playing and he's not going to give forth a good effort, two things are going to happen. His stock is going to be messed up and his public view perception. And it's a cancer on the team. Send him home. Well, you can't send him home now. That's the new John Wall rule. But you're not going to play. I don't have to play you. But you got to get something for him. Whatever it is, you got to get something. Royce should be going. If you keeping him, then that tells me you got the pipe dream of Donovan Mitchell coming here and you're ready to give up everything for him. Which you're going to have to move heaven and earth to fill out the team after that because you got to pay him. And he wants the full 50. DFS... If you can get the two first for him, you do it. was nice having you here, Dodo. You belong on a team that should be contending. You've been the consummate professional. You know, love you. Gotta go. Clax, this one bothers me because...
He's 24.
No, it's not that. You can't extend him. So because you can't extend him in the season, you can't take the chance of him walking. He could tell you every... Like, people said, well, he said it in an interview. You really think he's going to say in an interview in a contract year, oh, I don't want to be here? Like, Brooklyn could pay him the most money. He has to say that so he can get the max. Like, let's not be fools. It's about a dollar sign. He bet on himself. He won. Now, the money he's going to get, do I think that's going to be a good contract later? No. But am I for players getting paid? Yes. Get every dime you could get.
Let me talk about Clax for a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a couple guys that do analytics for teams, and they say he is a god. He is a god. He is in the 99th percentile in off-ball scoring for centers. He's the best perimeter defender as a center in the NBA. They had him ranked at one point as almost an all-NBA center. When right before KD left, his numbers and analytics were at that godly type level. So I think there has to be at least one team that says he's 24. Almost a defensive player of the year-esque guy. How many of those guys come around on free agency? Very rare, right, you would say?
Oh, I totally agree with everything you said. The issue in that is they don't give true context. I don't care if you could switch. I don't care about that. Switching, yeah, you only really need to switch maybe three or four times. Your center, three or four times in a game. Like, I've seen Brook Lopez contain somebody. He's slow. He's considered all NBA, all defense. He's old, slow. One thing I know he can do, he can guard his position. You're not going to back him down. Everybody is just not going to post him up and just go. You know, when you start looking at it, yeah, Clax has been playing better as of late. As like, I think he had a great game against Minnesota. He came, you know, he showed out considering they got about three bigs. He held his own. But nobody was really posting him up. In the playoffs, when it really count, and the argument becomes people say he's not a center. He damn sure ain't a power forward. He can't shoot. So he's just a tweener, what you're telling me, which makes him the perfect rim runner. So he can't get you points on his own. He has to be fed. You're a rim runner. You're Tyson Chandler, S. Capella, DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen. And you don't anchor a defense. All those guys I named anchors defense. And they anchor top defenses.
You don't think that a drunken GM, when I say, I don't mean actually drunk, obviously.
I know what you mean.
You know, a drunken GM is going to be like, 24, the analytics
yes.
look so good. We got to give him the max.
Yes.
I think he can get a max very easy if he's healthy. If he's
and
healthy,
they should. Get it. No, and they should. Like, listen to what I'm saying. Do I think he should get a max? Yes. I just don't think the Nets should give him a max because on the Nets, he won't do enough for the max. He don't impact a game enough for to give him the max. I believe centers are like running backs. You can go find a rim running center anywhere. There's a lot of 6'10 dudes that can catch lobs. Like, when people talk about Clax, they talk about him switching. They don't talk about him, oh, he's shutting B down. And don't get me wrong, people don't really shut him B down. I'm just saying, like, oh, he, you know, the impact is not that. Blocks don't mean impact. Miles Turner led the league in blocks for like 3 or 4 years. How much impact did that have? Because when you go for the block and you don't have what he used to have in the 7-foot KD, coming from the weak side to get the rebound, and you starting a 6'7", 6'8", dude next to him that's not a rebounder, you know what? Clack's man then gets the putback. So when you look at the stats, he's had 3 offensive rebounds, which turned into 3 dunks. Story of the Nets.
So what would you get back for a Clacks? Because like I said, we said all these good things about him. I'm not going to say it again. Like, I feel like that's such a commodity. Like, how? But he's also, it's only going to be like a rental, right?
It's not a rental.
Have to pay him.
So whoever's trading for him, you're trading for him and you're talking with his agent to know that he's going to resign.
Well, you don't make the deal unless you know he's interested in resigning.
That's it. You never know how it's going to play out. You can't tell him, hey, I'm going to give you the max. He say, okay, I'll resign here. And then another team get matches that, but it's a better opportunity for him. That happens all the time because when you're ready to trade the player, you don't care. So what would I think? It has to be, for me, at least 2 picks.
I agree.
Has to be 2 picks. Or it could be 1 pick and a real good player. Because we got to remember, I'm saying this because he only makes like $9.5 million. Now, if he made 20 plus, I'd be telling you 2 picks and a player, a young player. But because his money, it has to match somewhat. You can't realistically think you're going to get 2 picks and a young player, unless you get a team that has vets, but they can win now and also has rookies.
Well, what if you do something like this? I've been playing with like OKC and whatnot. What if they put Royce with Clax and you get back a Bertans and picks? Bertans is making $17 million this year, but next year his deal is unguaranteed except for $5 million. You could also do something like that, right?
Okay. What I'll say to that is this. Clax by itself gets you 2 picks. By itself. So if I'm taking money back because they botched the 3 superstar trades and didn't come back with young talent, they can't no longer do a trade and bring back 20-some, you know, almost 30-year-old player and you're sending out a 24-year-old. You need to get
it. I would just say that just to match the contract, I would say.
Yeah, but and I get that part. Mm. But the issue becomes, where's the young player? They have to capitalize on that part. Just getting the draft pick doesn't matter. You still want Bertans is not an asset too much after this year. You're going to waive him. So the $17 million, okay. You got rid of 2 players, got 2 picks. You
get rid of Clark. I want more for Royce, obviously. I want something more, but yeah.
You gotta get back young talent, because if you're trying to build around Bridges in them, but Taunts don't move the needle. He don't move the needle. No. He doesn't move the needle on OKC. But you go get me Dort makes too much. Isaiah Joe, a Wallace. I really would want Wallace. It's your young point guard.
Yeah.
On the first year rookie deal. Controllable asset. Give him the keys. See, that becomes the issue too. When you do these trades and you get the point guard, you have to give him the keys, regardless if it's a vet or a young guy. Huh. No more, Cam, I need you to play the one, this person, Dennis Smith Jr. No. Here's the keys. Make it go.
Man. I keep on going back to OKC because of all those picks. But we saw the Lakers in the reports with the Murray deal. Maybe we get back a D'Lo. I have a feeling you would be so you'd be heated to have to get back that contract. And I feel exactly the same way. It's nice to talk about D'Lo and, you know, a little nostalgia here and there, but Jesus Christ,
You made me put my hoodie on. I'm about to go get the Black Forces next. D'Lo? Like, let's stop bringing this 2018-19 team back. He left out of here nasty. He complained, talked bad about the organization. And in all actuality, they helped him. They didn't have to do a sign and trade for Kevin Durant. So, in fact, they got D'Lo a max. Right? Got him a 5-year max on top of that. They could have just signed KD outright. Did you a favor. You still flipped out. And Kenny wasn't wrong. Last time I checked, when he went to Minnesota, the coaches were sitting him out the fourth quarter too. Our G-leaguer, Jordan something, I forgot his name, he was starting in the fourth quarter closing games while D'Lo was on the bench. Yeah, he has a resurgent on the Lakers, but he's like the fourth option. It's no pressure.
Yeah,
you playing with AD and LeBron. How many easy looks you getting? D'Lo's good, but to take on $18 million, what the Lakers gonna give us?
They only got one pick, and they would have to give it to Atlanta. So that's the issue with that.
I tell you everything you needed to know about this organization.
Trying to think of anything else that we could talk about anything trade deadline-esque. I guess you could put your GM hat on. Well, what would you do going into the trade deadline?
Oh, I got this one.
Go ahead.
Some people may like it. Some people may not. But don't look at anybody's personal issues outside of basketball. We're talking about just on the basketball court. Me, personally, I would like a return of a Murray, Miles Bridges, Valanciunas, or Wendell Carter Jr. If you got those three in here, we're going to be in the playoffs. They can make a run. And the reason why I say don't worry about Miles Bridges, we know what he did, right? Ray Lewis killed somebody. He's revered right now. Like, things happen. You know, they're young, money. To me, and I say this in chats, I'm going to say it here because I'm so transparent. That incident, knowing that he was about to get a 5-year max deal, she was supposed to hold that over his head to really get the bag, to really get the money, right? If I come out with this, it's going to be bad. There you go. You got him. Give me 10. We're coming from the inner cities.
Yeah.
He might not never be able to recoup that money. So no, I would take him, right? And even though he would have to agree to the trade because his bird rights wouldn't go with him, I would give somebody Cam Johnson and replace his $25 million for him.
You know that's not gonna happen, bro.
But
that's what you want, right?
So yeah, if I'm the GM, I do that. I take Valanciunas because I truly believe you need a big man. And this, because it's going back to being able to score in the post. Score a post scorer for Mikal, dudes that can't create, means when they take two dribbles in the post, it's a double team. There's people sagging off. Swing three. You're getting the shot you want, but you have the ability now to slow the game down. So now you don't have to rush and jack up threes, and you're getting wide open looks with the ability to get layups and end ones that we don't get normally. Like, that's our issue. Our shot selection is outside. You can play the percentages. When they don't hit, we struggle. Other teams walk in, get layups and dunks. That's how they do their comeback. Clock stops on them ones. Mm-hmm. And Wendell Carter Jr., I take him because he's only $13 million. He has the ability to hit a 15-footer.
How old is he?
Like 24 years old.
Still young as hell.
Yeah. He's like 24, 25 at most. So to say, yeah, he's 24. He came out the year right after Clax. And so to say, we keep saying the stretch big has to hit a three. No, a stretch big has to be able to hit 12, 15 footer. So when they do the pick and pop, it takes the man out. Like, we keep thinking it's three, or like, that's so much of a misconception. A three. LaMarcus Aldridge was a stretch big. He didn't shoot threes till he got to Brooklyn. Like, let's not overthink it. But you give me those type of three players, it changes, because Miles Bridges is the bull in the China shop. Think Julius Randle, athletic. He's not as big, but he would, no, he's about 6'6", 6'7", but he's super strong and athletic. That he's going to get to the basket and put pressure on the rim. He's going to catch that alley with his neck over the rim. That's going to have the crowd going crazy. And you get the big that can hold his own, and you get the point guard that can run Jacques Vaughn's system.
Oh, thank you. Just reminded me. Lonnie Walker.
Love him. He's one of
What's going to happen was... there? He's going to be a free agent. Do you give him the mid-level?
Yes.
Or do you trade? If you can get a first rounder for him, do you not make that deal? I think I have to.
I mean, you would have to do it, because you don't know if he's going to be an ability to sign back. But boy, I would love to give. But then again, he probably don't want to be here for the simple fact, look at his minutes.
Okay, is this an injury thing? Or is it they actually, you know, have an issue? Because I thought it was an injury. I thought maybe he's going through something. So, okay, we need him to play. We need his shooting. So we'll give him 10 minutes. But, like, I don't know. It's just maddening to me.
It was said he was on a minutes restriction while they was on that West Coast trip. They're home now.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know. People said, oh, he had a bad game. I said, in 10 minutes, you can't tell me if I had a good game or a bad game. Take about 3 to 5 minutes to get a good lather. So, you know, don't tell me nobody who plays under 10 minutes, six, you know, like, either they was exceptionally hot or they didn't get a chance to warm, get warm. That's it. They can't be bad because you just got on the court.
You play good all season. And then because you have a cold stretch, you just cut him out? Like, that's just insane.
No. Here go one for you.
Go ahead.
Cam Thomas got hurt, averaging 24 points. It's an ankle injury. It was an ankle injury. That means it probably – they don't practice. So for him to get his rhythm probably was going to take 10 games. He wasn't granted that privilege of being a starter and finding his rhythm. He's coming off the bench and don't even know when he's coming off the bench. He's not even the sixth man. You go from starting, leading a team and scoring, to not even the sixth man. That's bad.
Very bad. It almost looks like it's racist or something. I don't know.
I just say this is the only coach that the more NBA talent he gets, the worse he gets.
I just, everyone knows it's maddening. And listen, I was not a CT guy. I'm a Dinwiddie guy, okay? So I was, you know, I had to put my pride aside. So you know what? I'm wrong. This guy got a lot better. And it's obvious that this team's number one scorer is Cam Thomas. I'm a Nets fan.
Yeah, as I was saying, I'm a Nets guy, right?
Yeah.
I believe Bridges even said it. Like, at some point, it's obvious. You may not like him, and it might be because of the issues with him and Steve Nash and behind-the-scenes stuff. But I was always told coaches play their moneymakers. I don't got to like you. I played for a lot of coaches that probably didn't like me because I spoke my mind. Guess what? You putting up 20-plus, you on that court. I'm trying to win. And right now, for a dude who's probably in his eighth year coaching, you just got to 100 wins last year on KD and Kyrie's back. So you don't have that many wins to justify the stuff he's doing. But, you know, that's my take on it.
I gotcha. All right, we're going to start wrapping it up. Any plugs you want to throw out? You're going to be back. maybe next week, maybe a couple weeks, but I think you're going to be a solid addition to the show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yeah, they know I'm going to be back. Y'all can catch me on Twitter at BK Nets Forever or Kool-Aid's Corner. You can catch me on YouTube, Kool-Aid's Corner. Yes, Pete, I'm going to start dropping more content.
Good. You better. I'm going to press you if you don't.
You know, guys,
he's got some amazing stories that we've talked about off, you know, off the record. Man, I don't know what you're doing. You're fucking up. You're fucking up by not throwing these out.
Nah, you know what it is? Sometimes some of the stories is so personal.
Okay,
you know, that I'll share them, like, you know, if we're talking off camera and stuff like that. But I've been privileged to be around people in rooms where those conversations, I don't think, supposed to truly leave the room.
Okay, that's the
Because if I told all that stuff, man, these people probably be knocking on my dad's door, like, yo, what's going on with Cool, man? My DMs would be like, bro, come on. For real? I mean, but I have a lot that I can share. But, you know, like I said, in due time, I have content that I need to release and some that when it get old, I just delete it. Like, oh, I missed the date on that one.
I do the same thing. All right, guys, you can follow me at NetFansYouKnow on Twitter, on YouTube. You can catch Fireside Nets live stream podcast I do with Spen Harris every Monday. Check out at Fireside Nets on Twitter and YouTube. Have a great day. Have a great night. This was a great episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time.
Let's go Nets.
We're out.